It
Right.
looks like we have a quorum now, right?
We actually do not, Dustin. It's
Okay.
2:30, and so we started the recording. We'll let you know when enough
Oh, okay.
members jump in.
Sorry.
Oh, you're fine.
I don't think Dallin's going to be able to join us. I think he's in Italy at the moment, so the Olympics visit.
And he's not willing to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and kill him a Zoom meeting.
Right.
No, I can't blame him.
I will maybe text Doug and see if he's going to hop on. We do have Dallin.
Hello.
Hey, Dallin. I didn't think we'd have you today.
Sorry, I got stuck in traffic in my on the I'm going from upstairs to downstairs.
See, we've got
Right.
Doug and Dallin, Kurt, Max, and myself. So I think we've got a quorum now.
We do. Is it okay if I read a quick statement?
Yeah.
Doesn't. All right. So welcome, everybody. Before we begin this public meeting, we'd like to make a few reminders and recognize the following board members in attendance: Dustin Graybaugh, Max Covey, Doug Smith, and Dallin. Is it Kutcher? Dallin, I
Kosher.
apologize.
It's kosher. Kosher like a pickle.
Kosher. Thank you so much. I
Yeah,
apologize.
no problem.
And we'd like to excuse the remaining board members. Board members, we ask that you indicate your name before commenting or making a motion for the public record. If you are a Zoom attendee and need to present an agenda item, our staff will promote you as a panelist. A pop-up on your screen will appear and then click Join as panelist. If you're presenting, please have your camera on. And if you'd like to make a comment during the public hearing portion of the meeting, please use the raised hand functionality in Zoom and we'll unmute you when it's appropriate. With those reminders, I'll turn it over to Dustin to conduct today's meeting.
Thank you for that. Board, we'll move into our first agenda item, the review and approval of meeting minutes from December 16th of the MIDA DRC.
This is Dallin Kosher. I'll make the motion to approve the minutes from December 16th.
Okay, we have a motion from Dallin. Do we have a second?
This is Max. I second the motion.
Hey, we have a motion from Dallin, a second from Max Covey. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we'll proceed to the second item. We'll turn it over Rob to present on the Hail Peak Second Plat Amendment.
Thank you, Dustin. Bear with me while I share my screen real quick here. Can everyone see my screen?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Okay, this is Rob Donegan, staff planner for MIDA, for the MRF project area. Before us today, the only agenda item is the Hail Peak MIDA Mountains Plat Second Amended. On the screen right now, I just show, it's a clip from the county's mapping website, but shows the area that we're talking about today. I've highlighted kind of where Hail Peak is, kind of at the center of that area. And so I'm just going to step through kind of a little bit of history of this piece of ground. So this is the MIDA Mountain Plat, and this specific version was recorded in 2023. You'll see here that if I zoom in, that's parcel 6A1. And then there was also a parcel 6B1. And then taking the next step, then we had the Hail Peak MIDA Mountain Plat amended. And what that did was take the parcel that we saw on the previous sheet, 6A1, and divided it and created parcel HP-1. You see kind of in that bluish purple color there. And then the remaining was delineated as parcel HP2. So before us today is the Hail Peak MIDA Mountain plat, second amended. And what this plat proposes is, you can see the HP1 parcel there in the blue purple there, the remaining HP2. This plat now creates a third parcel within that piece, defined as parcel WT-6, and that's the little cul-de-sac looking shape right there in purple. And then on the east side, it takes what was parcel 6B1 and divides it into parcel 6B1A and parcel 6B1B. So these new parcels, the WT6 is as mentioned in the staff report, is for the water tank, 6 improvements. And then parcel A and 6B1B are for utility infrastructure purposes. And then again, HP2, the remainder of HP2 remains the same. So with that, the applicant has submitted all the required documents for review and approval. They did that in January, made an amendment or changes to it, resubmitted it to us prior to this meeting, to what you see today. So staff recommends to the MIDA DRC that they approve the Hail Peak MIDA Mountains Plat as presented today.
Thank
with
you.
With that, I'll turn it back over to you, Dustin.
Thank you, Rob. Board, any questions for Rob on the plat amendment?
This is Dallin. I'm looking for some education because this is all fun and new, exciting to me. But help me understand, what does this do for you to redo these plats? I would be great training for me.
Mm-hmm. If it's okay, I will let the applicant answer that question if Evan's available or Kurt.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when we the motivation behind this plat started with the water tank parcel as we're separating out. So when you see WT-6, that is kind of about a 15-foot offset around the edges of that water tank infrastructure and valve houses that are installed there. So that infrastructure will get deeded over to JSSD.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the motivation behind parcel WT-6. And then on parcel 6B1, we separated that. I did want to clarify, Rob. Parcel 6B1A will remain ski lands. And then 6B1B is not planned or currently being used as ski lands. So we just wanted to go ahead and create that separation while we were doing this plat, because that does directly abut up to our Ventana parcel, which is where we have multiple large infrastructure pieces. There's multiple water tanks, a large pump house, and then the Rocky Mountain Power Substation. And we, because that's not being utilized for ski, and with its location, we just wanted to be able to reserve that if need be to support those structures and infrastructure around them. Dallin, I'm not sure if that's exactly what you were asking on, so if I can clarify something further, happy to.
Does this change in like I'm just gonna be upfront because I don't know the right question, but does this change like taxable value of these properties or parcels or what you can and can't do in those parcels? I just looking for how do I what this does for at the end of the day for you guys is like because some of these parcels have infrastructure on it like. Like you said, you can give that to JSSD so that or something that needs to be platted separately, I guess. And so those are some of the questions I'm asking.
So, Evan, let me down. This is Kirk Krieg with
Hey,
XT.
Kurt.
A lot of times we go and we basically bifurcate these parcels for ownership purposes. So,
Okay.
that says the JSSD and all of our subdivision plats are very similar for our project entity. So, like when we came forward to this commission with Lot 27, we were really separating out the buildings for ownership. And the reason that we put these entities in different ownerships is one, that's the way we were able to actually subdivide it through a condo plat to go and sell off fee simple parcels such as the condominiums within the building, which is airspace. But it also serves the purposes one, as the tax identification, and so that the assessor can collect the updated taxes on that. And then it also is about, insurance and liability that it stays with that project entity. So once the water tank in this case is built, we deed it over to the JSSD, then it becomes a responsibility of Max Covey and his team, whether it's insurance or, they don't pay property tax, but those type of things. And so that is really what the platting process is about. The valuation doesn't come from the segregation or the change of the plat itself. It comes from how the uses are applied to that plat. Most times you'll see the valuation increase, and most importantly for tax purposes, such we recorded recently before the end of the year, the condominium plat on the Waldorf Astoria. Now we announced that last week. We'll talk about that in a minute when we give a quick update. But that is what really changes the valuation, because now that is 120 some hotel rooms as well
Right.
as 55 private residents at the top. That's what really changes the valuation. And hats off to Paula. Paula wanted to make sure as we were going through the platting to make sure it was captured by year end. So this process, there's really no material change. This is a cleanup item here, from an element. There's no use change. That's not going to affect
Gotcha.
taxes. But when we go through and we do these subdivision plat, these are create larger parcels for master development, or the condominium plat, that's where your valuation changes.
Makes sense. So I appreciate that. That helped clarify that for me so, to understand that better. So thanks, Evan, and thanks, Kurt, for that help.
Thank you, Evan. Any more questions from the board on this item? If not, we're looking for a motion on the plat amendment.
Dustin, this is Max. I move that we approve the Hell Peak Mita Mountain Plat Second Amendment.
Okay, a motion from Max Covey.
This is Doug Smith. I'll second that.
Doug Smith seconding. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll proceed to vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Let's see. We have our next DRC scheduled for March 10th at 2 p.m. If there's no other business, I'll look for a motion to adjourn.
Kurt has his hand up.
Oh, Kurt, yes.
I'm sorry, Heather's at legislation today, but she had asked me to give a quick update. We haven't done a formal update since the new year. So if Dustin, it's your call as chairman if you'd like me to give you a quick update.
Yes, please, Kurt, proceed.
So as mentioned when answering the previous question for Dallin, last month we did announce the Four Seasons, I'm sorry, the Waldorf Astoria, which is on lot 5A. That is the second five-star hotel, which resides immediately next to and adjacent to the north of the Four Seasons. With that, when we were working through our branding agreement with them and finalizing that, we also secured our construction loan. So you'll see we have fully funded for our construction. So that's on record with the county, as well as we've had six sales to date. And Sotheby's is the listing agent on that. We have the roof on top of the skier services and are working on the enclosure of the skier services. Reminder that the skier services building is what we're actually creating and developing for Alterra and Deer Valley. That's where they'll have their day lodge and their ticketing and their ski school and nursery and a club program. That's looking to be turned over shell and core in September. The Four Seasons is going very well. It's actually on the fourth floor. We do have 58 sales in that building as well. And then the Hilton Canopy is now on fixed finishes, and that is towards the north by the Jordan Island Gondola, and that is slated to open this summer. So that's really where we're tracking.
Hey, Kurt, this is Doug. I have a question for you. The Waldorf and the Four Seasons, are they all for sale units in there, or is there some straight hotel?
So just so you know, each of them have two towers, and I don't know if Evan has a map quickly available, but each of them have two towers. So Doug, it's a great question. The first tower, so just if you look at the ski beach, we have basically skier services, which we're calling Building A. We have the first tower of the Four Seasons, which we're calling Building B. We have the residence tower of the Four Seasons, which we're calling C. And then the Waldorf Hotel and condos, which is D. And then the residences by themselves on the Waldorf, which is E. So the first building of the Four Seasons is 134 hotel rooms and 55 private residences atop. And then adjoining via Sky Bridge or through the parking deck, either one, or you can walk across the plaza, you have 68 private residences and a standalone tower. And that's really where these brands are going in the future, is you kind of have a rental pool of condos atop of the hotel, and then you have more of a private residences that receive the benefit of the hotel that buy into the brand, such as Four Seasons or Waldorf. And, you know, they're right next to or adjoining. And then on the Waldorf, just so I check my numbers, we have 132 hotel rooms. And then atop of that, we have 56 residences. And then a standalone tower is 49. So there is a mix on the hotel tower of both condominium and, you know, hotel rooms themselves, and then a standalone tower immediately next to them. That allows the hotel, most of the owners that buy into these, and again, due to SEC regulations, we're not allowed to encourage or discourage rental, but most of them put a rental pool, that's as a developer as we sell them, but most of them put them in a rental pool with the brand. So the out of the 55 private residences, we would assume or guess that roughly 80% will put them into a rental pool with Four Seasons, and they double back as suites. So that is important to the overall community, and really going forward of inventory that you have as hotbeds.
Maybe a little late, but here's the image with the labeling as we were talking about towards those buildings. So sorry, it wasn't loading up for me.
Doug, does that answer your question?
It does. Yeah. Thank you.
And any other board questions for Kurt?
So the Waldorf is D.
D and E.
D and E.
D and E. Okay.
Right.
So really, you've almost completed the ski beach other than G.
That is correct. And remember, G is the temporary skier facility that we have a license agreement with Deer Valley, so they can use it for 2 years until the skier services building is up and running. So we won't develop that anytime soon, Doug. Just be aware of that.
Okay.
Kurt, I do have a question for you. Do you have an estimated date of completion for, you know, any of those structures?
It's the fall of 2028.
Okay.
Both of them, they're running pretty close to each other. One's on the first floor and one's on the fourth floor. And you know, they're kind of two different separate and distinct builds. We are using the same general contractor, which is Jacobson. And with that, I would say that some of the construction that you all see, and if Evan, you could point to building 5 and 1 of Pyrmont, as well as the podium, and then building 2. So Reef is developing 5 and 1, which are the two closest to the ski beach. There's about 103 residents in there. They've contracted 88 of those residences. And then they just came out to market with building 2, which is just slightly to the east. There's 49, I believe, and some change. Don't quote me on that number, Dustin. But they've sold in a ton of those. And they've started in earnest on the plaza deck and parking, as well as building 1 and 5. And then this spring, they look forward to going forward with building 2 as well. So those three buildings are under construction. And this really meets our need because Extel retained the retail and commercial on the first floor of all the Pyrmont spaces, as well as within the first floor or the plaza deck of the skier services, the Four Seasons, and the Waldorf. So we have about a little under 200,000 square feet of retail and food and beverage that we'll be putting in there. But this gives the critical mass of the village. And actually, from a Paula standpoint and a bonding standpoint, exceeds what our anticipated absorption is.
Awesome. Okay, well, if there are no more questions, looking for a motion to adjourn.
Is Doug, motion to adjourn.
Okay, motion by Doug, I'll rule that as we are now adjourned. So we'll see you all next March 10th at 2 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The time is 2:52.